Good evening, and for the first time in 2026, welcome along to the Score programme, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a look at the big sporting stories happening across the Northwest. My name is Mark Gallagher, and we have a lot to get through between now and 8 o'clock, so let's get going. A heads up on what we'll be diving into on tonight's programme. A bit later, we'll be hearing from the ATU Donegal manager, Maxie Curran, as his side have progressed to the knockout stages of University Football's Trench Cup. They're back in action against Carlow next week, so we'll be getting the latest on that competition with Maxie. Also in Gaelic Games action, we'll be speaking to St Union's College manager Peter Devine after his team booked their spot in the McLaren Cup final this afternoon. In soccer, we'll be taking a look at Institute's season so far and their ambitions for the future. Their manager Peter Hutton, former Finn Harps and Derry City manager of course, will be joining us on the show. Firstly though, it's a big weekend for local soccer here in the county. Donegal will face Limerick in the Oscar Traynor Trophy semi-final in Castlebar on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Having dispatched of old rivals and neighbours in a show on over two legs in the first round before Christmas, a new format means Eamon Sheridan's side have progressed straight through to the last four of this national competition. And I'm happy to say the Donegal Junior League manager joins us now on the programme. Eamon, it's the business end of this tournament and I'm sure you and the boys are looking forward to it.
Oh, we are, yep. Yeah, we're looking forward to say the lads have been training hard there this last week or so with their clubs throughout, anyway. But I mean, we get them in now and again, but they've been buying into us this week, so it's everybody's raring to go come Sunday.
Good stuff. We'll get on to Limerick in a second, but I want to go back to the two games against Inishowen just before Christmas there. Apart from the second half of the first leg, when you kind of let them back into it a wee bit, you were fairly dominant over those two games. You must be fairly pleased with how you're taking through those tests.
Hi, well, the first leg, it was like we were three up at half time, and we didn't flattered us. But in his own, you could see that there were a lot of nine Cockhill players, I think. You could see that they were playing together, they knew how to play each other, but it took us a while to get going. But the second half and the second leg, we were definitely played more like a team, and we dominated that game from start to finish. And if we can continue that into the next game on Sunday here now, we'll be all okay.
You referenced after that game that your defence was a key part of getting the stability and allowing you to control and manage the games, which is something I know you were happy with after. Getting a solid footing defensively will go a long way to winning this tie on Sunday as well.
Oh, 100%. Like the lads were excellent, like the back five is such, and if you have a solid back four or five, whatever you want to play it, it's a great start. And like we have serious attacking ability, so it's getting the defence as solid as we can and going from there. A lot of experience there too.
Limerick on Sunday, neutral venue down in Castlebar. Having spoken to you before, I know you'll be more focused on your own game rather than dwelling too much about the opposition, and you'll be looking to put your own stamp on the game as quickly as possible.
Oh, that's the plan, yeah. Yeah. Well, as I say, we're prepared right this week. We intend to go at it the same way as the other previous games, so it won't be nothing out of the ordinary that we've done before. The Limerick team, I found quite a bit of information about them. Like, they're a very good team as well. But you know, they have a lot of Fairview and Pike Rovers players, who are at the latter end of the FAI Junior Cup every year. So we know it's going to be a tough battle, but I keep saying to the boys, we're a very good team ourselves, so bring it on as such.
That's it, and you touched on the experience. On occasions like Sunday, it'll be a big atmosphere. You'll be looking to the players with big experience to get a hold of a game like that, the likes of, you know, you're ready to lap Shane McGinty, Gareth Harkin, Ryan Shields. If those lads can get a hold of any game, you'd fancy your chances.
Oh, definitely. The experience throughout there, Gareth Harkin there, he just gets in there and he just he keeps the show running as such. He knows when to get rid of it, when to hold on to it. And I say big Paddy Kerr, Paddy's probably just after mid-20s, but Paddy's, he gives you something else up and down that pitch, and he's one of the more experienced now boys there now as well. And year to lapse, and Ryan Shields, Ryan in the back has just been brilliant. He cruises through games. and Shane McGinty there in the middle too gave us a serious option in the last game as well. So hopefully Shane, he's a bit of a knock there, but hopefully he'll be all right for come Sunday as well.
Strength and depth has been a big thing for you. I think you've a squad of 22 or 23, you were saying the last time. They say that's a good problem for a manager to have, but there must be some fierce competition to get into that 11.
Oh, fierce. Like, if you see the training, like the intensity of it and the fighting and battle for every ball, it's a joy to watch. There's actually just 20, there's 20 fit players now for Sunday. Like, so squeezing that into 18, which is a bit too left out, which is unfortunate for two, but it is what it is. But you never know what happens here now and then as well. So that's for us, that's great as the manager side of things, but there'll be somebody left disappointed.
A couple of knocks here and there, but have you made any additions to the squad since the last day out against Inishowen?
No. The only addition we made was Shammy Friel came in for Pudge Kilsenan. Pudge pulled up and he got injured before the second leg, and Shammy came in and he was excellent the last game, absolutely brilliant. So no, apart from that, no, nobody else brought it, no.
Good stuff. And of course, the big carrot at the end of Sunday would be an Oscar Traynor Trophy final. They don't come around very often, and that's a big prize if you get over Limerick.
Oh, it is, yeah. I don't know if it's old school or what, but I don't look too far ahead any of that. I just want to look at Sunday and see where it takes us, I suppose. We know what the other end is, yes, what's at stake, but I'll just worry about Sunday, and then I'll worry about the final if it ever happens.
Good stuff, Eamon. Thanks very much for your time, and best of luck on Sunday, and we'll be talking to you again soon, okay?
That's grand, Mark.
There you go. That is Donegal Junior League manager Eamon Sheridan, and we will have live updates from that game in Castlebar on Sunday at 2 o'clock. John Corliss will be the man providing us with the latest in that game. Plenty of action in the Donegal Junior League and in Inishowen leagues this weekend. In the pick of the games on Saturday in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1, third place Drumbar will play St Catharines, and second place Kildrum Tigers play Erin Wanderers, while top of the pile Strand Rovers are away to Old Town Celtic. In the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, KG Rovers, who are top of that division, they play Glenelg United Reserves, and second place Fintown Harps travel to play Kopanie Rovers. In the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, the pick of the game sees Lagan Harps, who are top of the table in that division. They play Balbuffet United at home. Third place Capri Rovers are away to Dunluce Celtic, and Gidor United, who are at the foot of that table, they are away to Castlefin Celtic. On Sunday, there's also action in the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1 and the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. In Division 1, top of the table, Kerry Keel 71 play third place Gidor Celtic, and then second place Castlefin Celtic are away to Convoy Arsenal. And in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2, third place Deal Harps play top of the table Raphoe Town. That is first against third in that division. Obviously, no Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division action this weekend because of that Oscar Traynor clash. And in Inishowen, the pick of the games in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division is Clonmany Shamrocks. They're sitting in second spot in that league. They are away to QPS. Well, let's take a look at the action up north. Institute travel to Ards on Saturday in a bid to kickstart their bid to finish the season in the promotion playoff group of the NIFL Championship. Stute currently sit in ninth spot in the league with 27 points, 6 points off Queen's University, who occupy the last promotion spot. It is Peter Hutton's first season in charge of the Derry-based side, and the ex-Finn Harps and Derry City boss says it's very much a case of trying to rebuild to be competitive in the future. There's also a desire for the club to develop a new stadium, as they have been playing their home games at the Ryan McBride Brandywell for the past several years. Hutton spoke to Highland's Chris Ashmore a bit earlier, and he says there is a positive mood around the club at the moment.
Peter, many thanks for joining us on the programme. First of all, just looking at how the season is faring out for Institute. When you look back at the start of the campaign, has it gone harder or easier than you would have thought, or are you where you thought you would have been?
Well, to be honest, we were going into a wee bit of the unknown. I didn't know the league at all, really, nor the players within it. So it's just we're really finding our feet this year. There's no relegation in the championship this year. So I suppose this year was just all about finding out about the players and trying to build a foundation now for next year. We just before I came in, the club lost, I think it was the guts of 14 or 15 players who had moved on to elsewhere. So it was just basically trying to rebuild the team and the squad. They sort of be competitive this year. And I think we've done that. We've held our own in the vast majority of games. I can only say in one or two games we were really disappointing, but for the vast majority of games we're very competitive in it for being even such a young squad.
And the transfer window, you have brought in a couple of players, and indeed one of them scored last week against Dundella.
Yeah, young Kerr, we're going to go there. Nice for him just to get off there. A good start. As you say, we just came on and got one at the death there. We were 1-0 up, and we deservedly so, and then we conceded sort of sloppy play on our part, and we thought, oh, here we go again, because the Tundela, over the course of this season so far, they've scored late goals against us previously too, and both games have ended in draws. So nice for Cahir to enter then and sort of stake the claim. They take the headlines, you know. So it was good for him. Gets him off to a good start too.
So you touched on it there. The league in the north, a little bit like here in the south, there's a bit of sort of restructuring going on at the moment. There's different tiers there. Essentially, I'm right in saying there'll sort of be three tiers at, shall we call it, a senior level.
Yeah, that's it. The restructuring now. So there's the Premiership, the Championship, and then the PIL, as they call it now at the moment, the Intermediate League. They're having four come up this season in terms of promotion. But it'll leave then the Championship a bit lopsided, because they're trying to leave all three divisions then on, I think it's either 10 or 12 teams. So four comes up, but eventually four will have to go back down over the coming seasons. So again, I don't see the sense in making four come up this year, but again, that's sort of obviously the our hands as such. Do you know what I mean? It's the powers that be.
And your own squad, are they mainly drawn from within an hour or so of Stute, or have you people travelling further?
Yeah, no, that's the premise. Really, is they're all fairly local, northwest area, Derry, Donegal, and the surrounding areas. I think one or two are Cookstown direction as well. So again, I and Stravan and that. So again, all fairly northwest.
At the moment, Limavady are certainly going particularly well in the Championship. No doubt that's an added derby match now that takes on extra interest.
Yeah, well, again, we've played them twice this season, and again, both games have been fairly tight affairs. They scored late on. They won the game in the Brandywell with a late goal, and then in the reverse fixture on Boxing Day, they scored from a direct free kick. That's all that sort of separated the sides that day as well. So very little on it, but they're a very experienced side, especially with the two Lowry brothers and that. And they've sort of gone out and spent a few pounds in terms of trying to get up this year. So they're staking a claim for it, and they're doing well.
Yeah. Now, off the pitch, what's happening in terms of ground development? And I know there's big plans for a new move to a new stadium. Where are we at with regard to that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the background in terms of Cluny Park West. They're obviously looking at funding the options. They weren't successful at the moment with the Northern Ireland government and the funds that came out. It was obviously made very public then, Norwood Derry City. But again, Institute are trying various avenues to try and sort of get this back up and running. And hopefully that will be the case. There's a lot of positivity around the club in regards to that. So we're hopeful there'll be some really good news in the summer.
Yeah. Now, one of your challenges, so, I mean, you have a pretty restricted budget, so it's trying to get the best with the resources available.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's a lot of competitive teams in this league, but also even in the division below, in the PAL with Strabane and Derrickview and Moyola and Port Stewart, not all across the northwest as well. Never mind your Coleraine's and that, but I would say they're on a different level altogether now. But again, we're all competing for the same players, and it makes it very difficult. But you really, when you are talking to players, but you only want players who want to come for the right reasons, not necessarily just a few extra pounds.
And that pool of players, it's, if anything, going to get more competitive because we've got the new third tier coming in the League of Ireland. So the likes of Letterkenny Rovers, Bonnygee United and Coghill Celtic going to be playing at that third tier. It'll be certainly interesting to see just how that all pans out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's good for the Northwest as a whole, and for players in the Northwest who want to sort of try and progress their careers. It gives them more options now and more avenues to sort of try and kick on their careers, such and play at a higher level. You know, but again, it's not great for the clubs who are fighting for those players. You know, it's sort of, it just means there's more competition to be added to.
Yeah. And the fact that the seasons don't quite overlap as well, that adds in, a spanner in the works at times.
It does, sure, certainly, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, the first one now in the League of Ireland obviously is going to be a very short season, almost like a tester season to see how it goes. But again, as you say, it sort of isn't too far out from the sort of the traditional British season as such, you know, so it lends itself to, as I say, to the club sort of all looking at the same players and around the same sort of time frames.
And when it comes to pitches, Peter, are you a fan of the 3 or 4G or even 5G surfaces, or would you like to have a perfect grass pitch, which is hard to come by?
Yeah, I would like to have a perfect grass pitch, but just as you say, it's very hard to come by. And I think just even the expense and maintaining it over the course of the season is very, very difficult for most clubs, if not all. I think you have to have obviously very specialised equipment to maintain it in the condition you would like it. But again, hence why a lot of clubs decide to go with a 3G. Now it's obviously, it can help generate income too when other teams are able to rent it out and stuff like that. So again, I can understand the reasoning behind it, but I'm obviously a traditionalist. I would prefer to play on the grass pitches. Ideally, if you had a 3G pitch for training on and then a grass pitch for your matches, be perfect. But again, I guess that obviously isn't cost effective for a lot of clubs either.
Away from the first team at Institute, what's the situation with the club? Is there an underage structure there? Is there a pathway through?
Yeah, they have underage teams. They have an under-16s team and then two under-18 sides and then a under-20s or under-21s, sorry. So they play in a sort of the NIFL League as such. You know, so there is a structure there. They haven't as yet decided to go any younger at the moment. But again, that could be looked at in the near future.
And then back to the pitcher situation. Do they play their home games at the Brandywell or different locations?
Yeah, well, the vast majority of them, the 20s play in the Brandywell, and the 18s would play in the Brandywell again because most of their games are Friday nights. The 20s would play on Saturday mornings early. And the 16s, they can play across different pitches here in Derry or the surrounding area.
Now, turning to the League of Ireland, and no doubt you always have one eye on what's happening with Derry City, being a big fortnight for the club and the signing of James McLean. There's a bit of an expectation in the Derry air that this season they really will challenge for silverware.
Well, I think they've just laid down a marker now with James coming in. And obviously his brother Patrick as well, but more so James, because obviously he's gone on to have a very successful career across the water. So he always talked about coming home and wanting to finish his footballing career with Derry. So I think the fact that maybe he wasn't a regular starter now with Wrexham and that has just sort of maybe fast-forwarded that scenario now, and Derry are obviously delighted to get him back in. And so they're looking forward to it. They've made some decent signings this season as well, particularly James Clark and that from Bohemians, who I really like, and young Darren Markey as well, which I think Derry have done it right in terms of this time, rather than going and signing a lot of players from England and Scotland. They've look more so towards the League of Ireland itself, where there's experienced League of Ireland players coming to the club now, and who know the league inside out. So
yeah, and
I think that's more beneficial.
Yeah, perhaps it's no coincidence that Tiernan Lynch, that the second season he's played, been around the country and seen what the opposition is like, and I suppose the physicality of the league. Shamrock Rovers last year, in the end, they were comfortable enough winners, but are you expecting it to be a much tighter title race this year?
I definitely do. I think it will. I think St. Pat's will improve as well. Bohemians, I'm not sure. But again, I think Derry will be, they finished the season very strong and just ran out of sort of games as such to catch Rovers. Rovers will always be there, thereabouts. But again, they have won it now for the last couple of years. So again, there's always going to be a time when they don't win it. So Derry need to be ready to sort of seize upon that. And again, I think a lot of supporters are expecting that this could be the year.
Yeah. And for the league, it's always good when you have the likes of Derry or Cork City or Dundalk or teams outside of Dublin who are up there as well, because they often can attract even bigger crowds.
Well, that's it. The sort of the clubs, as you talked about there, your likes of Cork and that, when they're going well, they really sort of, the supporters come out in their numbers. And Derry's exactly the same. If Derry were to do well this season, it'd be very hard to get a ticket for the games when they're going well. So again, hopefully that be the case this season. And I think it's been too long now, sort of, since they've last won the league. So it's about time they sort of put a real genuine challenge in now.
Yeah, well, there's certainly a pre-season buzz in the air, no doubt about that. For Finn Harps, as you know, Peter, that first division, it's very, very competitive. It's very hard to get out of. The fact that the fifth place team can get into a playoff means that quite often you're playing for something right up to nearly the end of the season in many cases. For Kevin McHugh, it's going to be another challenge, but if they can get off to a good start, they have a lot of good young fellas, who knows?
Yeah, no, to be fair to Kevin, they've done well with the academy in terms of bringing through some of the young players, young Gavin McAteers and that. Do you mean they've done well? They've sort of have a few homegrown players in there. And obviously then they have to sort of, they're a bit reliant then on trialists and that too, and trying to find gems from God, boys coming in from unknown places as such. Do you know what I mean? So clubs that most people haven't heard of, do you know what I mean? So recommendations and stuff. But it's always difficult. And again, finances are very, very tight. But again, Kevin, he done quite well last season. They were going well for a spell. But you need a bit of luck too in terms of injuries and suspensions when you have such a small squad. You know, you need that wee bit of luck as well.
And finally, Peter, do you feel overall the Northwest is in a good place with regard to senior soccer at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think it's in a healthy place. I mean, obviously, Coleraine and Derry City at the moment have the wealthy backers, and they're able to go out and sign whoever they want and prize anybody away from any club type of thing, whereas the other clubs within it then are just sort of looking for scraps. But they're fighting on all fronts. They're going well. As I say, it's great that the third tier is coming now to the League of Ireland as well. It gives a lot of players around Donegal and elsewhere across the Northwest another avenue they try and challenge at a really good senior level. And then obviously, as I say, the sort of the NIFL and with Institute and the Championship and the PIL teams in the North as well. There are a lot of them spending money now to try and get up next year for the Championship, which all bodes well.
That is Peter Hutton, former Finn Harps and Derry City manager, current manager of Institute, in conversation with Chris Ashmore. Institute are away to Argent Saturday, and another Northwest club that are in action on Saturday, Limavady United, are up against Armagh City. They are at home in that game. Well, it is time to take a short break here on the programme. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus towards this weekend's action in Gaelic games. You're very welcome back to the programme. Now, let's talk Gaelic games. ATU Donegal have qualified for the knockout stages of the Trench Cup after their 4-20-2-12 victory over Southwest College in Convoy on Tuesday night. Oran Doherty, Shane Malone, Kieran O'Kane and Luke McGlynn got the goals for Maxi Curran's side, who have now qualified for that knockout stages, as I say. ATU Donegal's final group game is on the road against ATU Sligo next week, with both of those sides aiming to finish top of the standings. Manager Maxie Curran spoke to Highlands Oisín Kelly earlier for a chat about all things college football, and also touched on the upcoming league campaigns for the Donegal senior men's and ladies teams.
So, time to talk colleges football, and in particular, ATU Donegal. And I'm delighted to say joining us on the programme this week is the ATU Donegal senior men's football manager, Maxie Curran. Maxie, how are you doing? Welcome along to the programme.
Thanks, Osh. Yeah, all going good.
Yeah, it seems to be all going good for you, Maxie, at the moment. 2-1 from 2, your place in the knockout stages of the Trench Cup has been confirmed, but two very good performances, in particular two very strong second half performances over the last couple of weeks from your side.
Yeah, we were slow to start in both games, and funny, the league final against Carlo before Christmas was the same story. We're, I think, 7 or 8 points down at half time, so look, it is probably something we have to look at and not leave as many mountains to climb in the second half. But yeah, look, it's we're very fortunate this year. We've managed to gather a very strong squad this year, and some real household names in Donegal football at the minute. So so far so good. We came through the league unscathed. We didn't lose any of the games, and we've been fortunate so far to get over the line. Last night was a right scare. We were level at half time, and SWC, or Enniskillen College is what they're effectively known as, caused us a lot of bother and got 2 goals, one at the very start of the game, another before half time. So, they stayed within touching distance, and we had 5 short into the keeper's hands. We had 3 wides in the early stages of the first half. So, we were very wasteful, and a lot of the time when you're that wasteful, it kind of can go back to haunt you. But fortunate enough, we'd done enough to pull away midway through the second half.
Yeah, you seem to have another gear in you, and part of that was very much your captain, Luke McGlynn, scored one of the goals and chipped in with some crucial scores as well, and he's only one of some seriously talented footballers that are in your ranks. Max said, I don't want to name them all out or miss anybody, but obviously we have to mention Shane Malone as well. He's doing his thing with Donegal at the moment. He's doing it with ATU too.
Yeah. He came on at half time yesterday and got a goal and got a couple of points after that as well. And but look, he's a couple of club colleagues that are doing great work as well. Look, Oran Doherty's been a revelation for us. He's probably the heartbeat of the team. Just the drive that the man possesses is very rare to see. He's one of these boys who just does a thing at 100 mile an hour, and I think he's an inspiration to a lot of the boys. And I think for me, that's one of the lovely things about college football. You have boys coming from clubs who've never played at county level, and they're getting to share the rest and share a pitch with the likes of Oran Doherty and Luke McGlynn and Oisín Caulfield, who was really, really good last night. His best game for the college and his time with us last night. These boys are knocking about county squads of Ulster medals in their pocket. And and then you've got the younger generation coming along, your Max Campbells and your Shane Malones and these guys that are the new kids in the block. So it makes for a lovely mix. And I say it's lovely for for club players who are not going to play county, or even club players at lower levels to mix in with these boys. And that's what makes it a lovely competition, because every college is the same. They've got boys from county seniors to junior club players, and look, everybody's needed, and it's a lovely mix. And I think everybody's really enjoying it this year. It is easier when you're winning games anyway.
Yeah, you've a couple of boys that have played O'Byrne Cup and FPD League as well, and Leinster and Connacht that are part of your squad.
Yeah. Bailey McBride played from Leitrim, started last night. He started for Leitrim at the weekend. Played midfield for Leitrim against London in the FBD Shield final. So yeah, look, we have a couple of boys with a guy in our squad. He's a Kerry native, living in Meath, and it was about a Meath development squad for a while. So look, we have a couple of outsiders, and as I say, it adds a lovely mix to it. And it's part of the, I think it's part of the charm of college football, that you have that combination of backgrounds. You know, for the lads, it's a lovely competition because there's so little training. The ratio of games to training is the nicest any young fellow will ever get. You know, so they love playing the games. And lucky enough, last night to have a home game in Convoy. The pitch was in great shape. You know, considering the weather, and fair play to them for making the pitch available to us. It's nice. Now we play Carlow next Tuesday, and it's a placement decider. Ourselves and Carlow are going to finish first and second, whichever order, based on next week. And we had a real ding dong battle with Carlow in the league final, so you know they're going to be gunning for us. And but look, those are the games you like, and that's the standard that we're at. And it's big difference from last year, and it's a lot more enjoyable, and I think everybody's enjoying it.
Yeah, so one more game left in the groups, and then you'll go to the semi-final. We'll wait to see how next week's games pan out, to see where ATU Donegal is going to be placed in the last four of the competition. But it's all going well at the moment. Maybe, Max, when I have you on the programme this week, we might talk about maybe a few county items. The Donegal men, you mentioned a few guys, of course, that's in your ranks that are playing colleges football, but are also part of Jim McGuinness's Donegal team. They start against Dublin at the weekend. Donegal seem to have had very, very good preparation in the McKenna Cup ahead of the league.
Yeah, you know, I think the level of training has really ramped up at intercounty level over the months of October and November. You know, the shortened season has really, I think, sharpened everybody's focus to pre-season, and you know, the level of training they're doing now. You know, we see it on our end. You know, that we're fortunate we have four in the panel. We've Cormac Gallagher from Termon, and we've Oisin Caulfield and Narasa, and we have the two young Glenties lads, Shane Malone and Max. So you know, we're keeping a close eye on things as to how they're getting on. So you know, that's keeping us, as I say, well informed as to what they're doing and that. So yeah, look, I think they've had great, they've had good preparation, and the McKenna Cup games have all went very well for them. You know, there's no beats winning matches, and it's a great habit to be in. And and the fact that they're going to Croke Park to play Jerry Brennan's Dublin in his first game, you know, makes it a really tasty encounter. And you know, the Donegal had a great run in the early part of the league last year, and you know, took the foot off the pedal. And so it'll be interesting to see what way they go at it this year. You know, all their big guns seem to be out and playing. So as I said, the season's so short now, so people who you don't have the option of stepping into the league midway through that you might have had, you know, 3-4 years ago, people have to really hit the ground running now. And we've seen that with the amount of Donegal's, you know, supposed, say, first 15-16 boys that have played in the McKenna Cup. I think that's probably unheard of, that you would see so many of teams' big hitters playing, and not just Donegal, it's the same for a lot of the counties. So I think it's going to make for a very competitive league, and people are really seeing it as preparation for championship, which I don't think it would have been, as I say, you know, a few years back. But you know, the league's regarded now by a lot of people as the most exciting competition, because you know, you've got the best eight teams all knocking, you know, sparks out of each other over the next 7 or 8 rounds. So it's a very competitive level, and I don't think it'll prepare Donegal very well for another Ulster Championship.
Yeah, I suppose the fact just that Jared Brennan has used a lot of younger and fringe players in the O'Byrne Cup. We haven't really seen any of the established names yet line out for Dublin in 2026. So there may be a very, very good opportunity here for Donegal to start the league with the one on the road at Croke Park this weekend. And for those young men that's involved in Donegal, that would be a huge, huge boost to give them a taste of that, Maxi.
Yeah, look, the experience of playing in Croke Park, and you know, it's very special to play the Dubs in Croke Park. Look, I'm sure Jerry Brennan's in with a long-term view, so you know he's not gonna worry about whether he hasn't got his more seasoned campaigners. You know, they'll definitely look to blood a few players. They're a team in transition, and I'm sure Jerry Brennan's there for the long haul, and he's going to be looking at the long picture. So yeah, I think you're right. I think when you see the amount of players that Donegal have used of their so-called big hitters over the last number of weeks, I'd say you see a very strong Donegal team go out. And look, I think we'll be very confident that we can get the couple of points of the weekend. But look, it won't be easy. You know, no game against Dublin and Croke Park is ever easy. And you know, and I suppose if some of the younger boys are playing, there'll be a nerve factor to that too, and excitement, obviously, but it'll be a wee bit nerve-wracking too for them to go out and play the Dubs in Croke Park. But look, it's a very exciting start to the league, and it's really at the deep end for everybody, and I think it's a really one to look forward to. Yep. Just hope our boys come through unscathed for Tuesday.
Yeah, well, listen, you've been involved in Lions that have played at Croke Park for the men's and for the ladies. The ladies are also starting their league campaign this coming weekend. Westmeath are the visitors to the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. And I suppose, Max, if Donegal, if the ladies are going to knock on from where they were last year, obviously a huge transition within the group. Very, very young players involved. They lost a lot of the established girls, so they did over the last couple of years. But they finished mid-table. But the next phase is to be, I suppose, for them, hoping that they can be further up the table and contending at the top of Division 2.
Yeah, look, I think no more than the Dublin men, it's a team very much in transition, and it's the start of a new group. You know, these things do tend to come in cycles. You know, you're now at the stage where you're starting to see quite a few of that minor team that won an All-Ireland C title a couple of years back, now starting to really backbone the senior team. You know, the likes of your Katie Dowds and Ava Walsh's and Ashton O'Neill's, and there's just a lot of them. Ava Galler, there's a lot of them now starting to, you know, really make a place for themselves in that team, and they're probably going to be the backbone of the next Donegal team, I think, that are really challenging for honours. But you know, I think last year they were competitive in a lot of games. You know, they didn't get spoils out of them all, but they, you know, they were very competitive, and even in the Ulster final against Armagh, I thought they were competitive for a long time against a very talented Armagh team. And you know, as you said, they've lost a lot of players over the last number of years, and a lot of experience has gone out of the team. But look, James Daly's a very experienced manager. He's assembled a really good backroom team there with Kieran and Poggy McGeehan, and I know they've trained very well over the last number of weeks and months, and they'll go into this game, you know, confident and hopeful. You know, the home games are very important to try and get the points on the board. But but look, it is a very much a transitional period, and I think people have to be very patient with the team and accept that. You know, I'd say the average age of that group is, you know, in the very low 20s at the minute. So it's going to take them time to find their feet, and you know, there will be bumps along the way, and but look, they will be hoping to get off the ground running this week.
Yeah. Listen, Maxie, thanks for joining us. That's it. And all we can do is wish you the very best of luck in your next encounter in the Trench Cup. That's against Carlow next week. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you in the coming weeks again. Thanks, Maxie.
Thanks, Aussie. Thank you.
That is ATU Donegal manager Maxie Curran speaking with our own Oisín Kelly. And for more GAA chat, you can go over to our website to have a listen back to Highland's dedicated GAA programme, which returned this week. And that is, of course, Brendan Devaney's DL Debate. And on Monday, he was previewing Donegal's Dr. McKenna Cup success and previewing the opening action of the National League. That is on the DL Debate, which you can tune into over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com. Now, as you heard, Donegal get their National Football League Division 1 campaign up and running with a clash against Dublin at Croke Park on Saturday evening. Oisín Kelly and Brendan Devaney are on the road for Highland Sport, and they will be bringing you live commentary from that game. Throw-in at GAHQ on Saturday is at 5 o'clock. Derry and Tyrone are both in action as well on Saturday. Derry are at Croke Park. That game between Meath and Derry is at 3 o'clock before Donegal's clash with Dublin. And Tyrone are up against Kildare. That game is at 6 o'clock at Healy Park in Omagh. Donegal's hurlers also get their league campaign up and running this weekend. They are in Division 3 action and they play near neighbours Tyrone. That game gets underway at 2 o'clock on Sunday at Garvahy, and we'll have updates from the game with Francis Mooney. Derry's hurlers are out on Saturday afternoon. They host Kerry at Celtic Park in Division 2. Now on to the ladies' action, and it's the first round of the National Football League Division 2, where Donegal are up against Westmeath at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny from 2 o'clock on Sunday. Tyrone and Derry also in action. Tyrone are up against Monaghan in Division 2 on Sunday, and Derry are away to Sligo in Division 4. Now, sticking with Gaelic games, but turning the focus to schools action, and St Eunan's College have progressed to the McLaren Cup final after defeating Holy Trinity College of Cookstown at O'Donnell Park this afternoon. The Letterkenny school raced into a 3-5 to 4-point lead after just 24 minutes and led 3-5 to 6 points at the break. Cookstown made a fight of it in the second period, but couldn't undo that damage done in the first half, and St Eunan's ran out worthy 3-13 to 1-12 winners. They will now contest their first McLaren Cup final since 2018. Interestingly, it was Cookstown who beat them that day in 2018. Well, after the game today, Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News spoke to St Eunan's manager Peter Devine.
Peter, a fantastic victory for your team against Holy Trinity Cookstown in the semi-final of the McLaren Cup. Back through to the McLaren final, how does that feel?
Amazing, brilliant. 2018, long time for the college to not be in a final, and we're just over the moon that we got there. At the start of the year, we knew there was a good team there, but we know how competitive this competition is. So to reach a final now is just fantastic, and I'm delighted for those lads.
Yeah, the platform really laid in the first half. Three goals, some great interplay, particularly among your forwards, and you went for the juggler?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, three goals in the first half, you have to be delighted with that. And look, conditions, it was very wet out there, but Jesus, some of the handling was brilliant from our boys, and yeah, that really set us up going into the second half, you know, that lead. Now, we knew Cookstown weren't going to lie down, they didn't, and they had their purple patch in the second half, but we seen it out and we're delighted.
Yeah, because you're 3-5-6 up at half time. I'm sure it was a better position maybe than anybody could have anticipated, but what was the message to the lads then?
Look, just stick to what they were doing. You know, they were brilliant in the first half, not to panic. When you're dealing with underage players and there's a big crowd there and it's a semi-final, you know, mistakes are going to happen, but it's important just to stay focused and stick to what we've been doing all year. And in fairness to them, they did that, and they finished very strongly, which is pleasing too. And they've done that in the quarter-final as well. We were under the pressure too against Castlewell for large parts of the second half, but in the last 5-10 minutes we really, you know, came through, which is great.
Yeah, Holy Trinity got it back to 4 points, got some good scores, a goal. I suppose when you needed leadership then, your captain, Pádraig Devine, went and won you a free, and that kind of steadied the ship again.
Ah, yeah, look, Pádraig's a brilliant player, and there are key moments in these big games, and you want your leaders to step up. And, you know, I feel that we had leaders all over the pitch today. Like, if you went through from Cormac, I thought he was brilliant in nets the whole way up to our forwards working hard. I thought everyone put in a massive, massive shift.
Yeah, and some of your subs making good impact too, Aaron McGinley and Shea Sweeney. I'm sure as a manager you'll be happy with that, and you know, lads coming off the bench making an impact and trying to get a starting jersey for the final.
Ah, yeah, look, we have a massive squad. We have 40 lads from the first week of September busting themselves to training. There's another 15 lads that didn't see any minutes today, but as we keep telling the lads that are playing and they're only going well because the other 15 are pushing them to training every time. And we are very fortunate that we do have a really strong bench, and the boys that came on made a big impact, and it was the same in the quarter final. And like I said, there's another probably 15 lads behind them that are disappointed, but you know, that's what we have, a big squad, and it really helps when you can go training and you have 15v15, you can work on stuff, and we're in a really privileged position, I think, to have those sort of numbers.
Yeah, a lot of your student population here in O'Donnell Park today. I don't know if there was much teaching going on up there today, but there's going to be a great buzz now over the next 2 weeks in the lead up to this final.
Yeah, I think there might have been an extended lunch break today. I think lunch finishes at 2 o'clock, but I don't know, I'd say a lot of students run the extended lunch there by an hour and a half or so. But no, look, it's great. The school now will be absolutely buzzing over the next 2 weeks, and we said to the lads too, I'm sure there's plenty of first year, second years, third years there, and you know, they'll be hoping now maybe when they get to fifth and sixth year that they can emulate the stuff that those lads are doing. So yeah, it'll look to be a great buzzer in the school, there's no doubt about it, and it's great for the college.
Yeah, and it's been a while since you've tasted McLaren Cup success. The school probably craves it, but it's going to be tough in the final.
Look, it will be. I think the last time we won it was 2014, and we were beating the final 2018 against Cookstown after a replay. Whoever we play is going to be tough in the final. Ulster titles are tough to win. And I'm also thinking too, wouldn't it be fantastic if Abbey win their semi? And I think Glenties too are playing today in the semi-final as well. So, you know, it bodes well for Donegal. And, you know, you see three schools and semi-finals and finals. It's brilliant.
That was St Union's college manager Pádraig Devine in conversation with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News after their 3-13-1-12 winners in that McLaren Cup semi-final today. So congratulations to St Union's College, and they have a McLaren Cup final to look forward to in a couple of weeks. Finally, for now in rugby, there is an All-Northwest clash in Ulster Championship 2 this weekend. It's the big game between Letterkenny and Limavady, and Alex McDonald will be providing updates from that game on Saturday Sport from around about 2:30. Well, that is it from me tonight. Jimmy Stafford will be with you just after the 8 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that. If you missed any of the last hour and fancy catching up on any of the interviews, you'll be able to find the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com. The Score will be back next Thursday from 7 o'clock, but in the meantime, your next sports update will be with Chris Ashmore during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For me, Mark Gallagher, have a great evening, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.